As we study the book of the Revelation, we're challenged to interpret many of the symbols that are in the book. And the way we do that is we search either the book of the Revelation or we search somewhere else in the Bible to find many of the explanations for the symbols and the unusual sayings that John gave in that particular book. But in chapter 9, John offers no explanation, and if he do, it's just a very few explanations of what is recorded in Revelation chapter 9. You just can't turn anywhere to get this. It leaves us to have to accept that perhaps the images and the entities in this particular chapter are actual. The things that we see are actual. They're not allegory. They're not, it's something that actually does exist. It's a scary thought in itself once we get into this, as we will see as we work through this chapter. Another sobering thought is that if indeed the star in Revelation 9:1, and it starts out that there was a star, is Satan, then he would have the key to the bottomless pit, and he also has the power to open it. There is a bottomless pit that Revelation talks about. And not only that, but even more sobering is the possibility that Satan has thus far been doing his work with less of his fallen comrades than he initially took with him. So, in other words, he doesn't have all of the fallen angels that went with him, and he's still doing a good job as a devil, And this also is an indication that man will have to literally deal with the subterranean world. That would be the world that exists under the earth. He's going to talk a little bit about this. Father, thank you for your word today. We thank you for your church today, which we are. I thank you, Lord, for stirring us and for encouraging all of us in many different ways that you did to be here today, to meet together, to be the church and your body coming to hear your word. We thank you for the song service and for the participation and for the hearts and minds and spirits that were lifted and that participated openly and freely. And we're so glad to have the freedom, Lord, to worship. We're so blessed, Lord, to have one another. And let us be reminded that you said in your word that we should love one another. You said it's by this that men will know that we are your disciples if we have love one for another. And so teach us, Lord, to love one another regardless of differences and regardless of our different inclinations, that we must and should always love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 9, starting in verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, sources identify this star as Satan, not one that is falling, but has already fallen. Revelation 9:2 refers to this star as he. And so that's a personal pronoun. Now, Isaiah 14:12 said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground?" Satan cast down indeed and given the key to his subterranean home, the bottomless pit. This bottomless pit is also called the abyss. It's a place of torment where the worst of demons and the worst of demon spirits are kept, from whence the Antichrist will also come, from the bottomless pit. The worst of the worst demons, the worst of the worst fallen angels, are kept in the bottomless pit. They are incarcerated. They're locked up. We couldn't deal with them if they were out here in this world today. It's bad enough without them, but the worst of the worst. I'm reminded of Luke 8:31, where Jesus confronted the demon called Legion, as many spirits had entered into the man. In verse 31, they besought Jesus to not command that they go out into the deep. And this word deep is the same word for bottomless pit. It's abyss, a bottomless pit. So they were afraid that when Jesus came, they know they had to come out of the man, but they were afraid he was going to command them to go into this bottomless pit. It's a prison for the worst of the worst. that are locked away. It is a hole that's dug it's figuratively a prison. Now, of course, they did get him to send them into the swine that were grazing along that hill, but they'd rather go into a herd of swine than to go into the bottomless pit. And so this is not the first time bottomless pit is used. It's just called bottomless, but it's also abyss. And if you looked up the term for bottomless pit, you find abyss there. It's the same word. It's the same reference. It's the same thing that the demons did not want him to cast them into, the abyss or the bottomless pit. So this thing has been around. Jesus knew about it. The devils knew about it. And they knew about it. And they said, please don't throw us into the deep. But don't put us into the abyss. Meaning he had authority to say, go to the abyss. And man, I don't know if you call that mercy, but he even showed mercy to the demons and said, go on into the swine. And they went. Mm. Now, Revelation chapter 9:2 goes on, says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. One thing that is not communicated by picture or video footage of a burning catastrophe is the condition of the atmosphere around it. You can't get that by watching. You can't get that. You're watching saying it's really terrible, but it's worse if you're in the midst of it. Forest fires and large building fires and war-torn areas all contain an oxygen-challenged environment. Smoke-filled. Imagine what it was like during the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center Twin Towers in New York City. Those burning buildings collapsed. People were running and trying to get away. They were oxygen deprived as they ran away due to the smoke and the debris that was in the air. There was not only smoke, but there was part and portions of building material that was in the air and in the smoke that was around, and it was oxygen deprived. They were scared to death. Now, you're hyperventilating, trying to breathe. You can't get a breath. You're breathing in this smoke, and this all this is happening. You know, maybe a bomb is going to, and they're just running. And in a similar way to this, the bottomless pit will spew out pollutants like a gigantic furnace or like a gigantic volcano, and make breathing difficult and convulsive and deadly for those, especially with diminished lung capacity. Now, everybody's not going to be healthy, and we go through these things as though we're dealing with people our age and of our, you know, ilk of health, that we're in pretty good healthy condition, but everybody's not going to be healthy when this thing spews out. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a community of people, and old and young and babies, and it's just going to be a whole community. 9:3 says, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. It is of interest to note that these locusts did not come from the earthly locust family. But they came from the subterranean earth, from the subterranean world. They will be demonic, and they will have horrible features, as it seems to resemble part animal and part human. Coming out of here. These locusts will have scorpion-like properties with stingers to stab and to poison the victims. People rarely die from an earthly scorpion sting, but they often turn black and blue and they go into convulsions. They run fevers. The pain is tremendous. Imagine millions of demonic locusts or scorpions attacking like a swarm of ill-intended mosquitoes. And it's like locusts that are flying. And they got, if you ever seen a locust, they got a tail like a scorpion. If you ever seen a scorpion's tail, it goes out to a little really point. They've got claws that look sort of like lobsters, but the tail goes around and it's got like a sting on the end of it, and they sting with that. And imagine, I don't know, numberless amounts of those out, and oh, they're just swarming around, and they're coming, and they're coming and stinging people, and they're having all kinds of bad reactions. And Revelation 9:4 said, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, and locusts usually eat grass, neither any green thing, neither tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. These demonic locusts will still be under God's control and will be forbidden from touching that 144,000 chosen and sealed in their foreheads. 144,000 Jews, as remember we covered this, 12,000 from each tribe, a total of 144,000. God protected them. He protected that group. And it says, listen, do not touch anyone in that group. God protects his own.
Amen.
I got one whole amen from that.
Amen.
I know y'all kind of freaking out about this, but you got some more to go. Mm-hmm. But here's the good news. God protects his own.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Do you belong to him?
Amen.
Okay, that's my point. God protects his own. You say, but bad things happen from time to time. Not as bad as they could be. Wow. Revelation 9:5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months.
Wow.
And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. You ever heard of someone being hit by a scorpion? You haven't? These locusts that are coming out of the bottomless pit will not kill. They will torment. Mm-hmm. They will torment, not kill. This torture will last exactly 5 months. No more, no less. We've already discussed the torture and pain provided by scorpion stings. The Mayo Clinic states that severe scorpion sting symptoms could require hospitalization and treatment. And it would include sedatives for muscle spasms and intravenous drugs to treat high blood pressure, agitation, and pain.
Uh-huh.
High blood, I mean, it's going to send your blood pressure up.
Yeah.
Agitation, you just, it messes you up.
Uh-huh.
You're going to be in pain and throbbing and fever. Not you, but, you know, the folks that are there around.
Uh-huh.
And this is what the Mayo Clinic, our medical wing, just one of the medical wings, suggests, and there are other treatments if you can't get to the doctor that they also suggest that you do every 20 minutes, do this, put a cold compress every 20 minutes, take pain medication. They got all of this stuff laid out for you to do. But the suffering at this time will be widespread. Needless to say, hospitalization will be out of the question because of the great number of victims.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So many people will be suffering with this same thing at one time. The hospitals will immediately be crowded if they're themselves not trying to avoid these things. See, it's not going to be an ideal time on the earth during this, even if there are hospitals. And so if you're lucky to get there, lucky, yeah. You'd have to be lucky. You're not blessed.
Right.
If you're there, you're not blessed anyway, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're lucky enough to get there, you still got to get treated. You got to get there, and you got to get a doctor who's not being attacked by these things, too, because they're going to be everywhere. And the doctor's going to be walking around with this thing trying to get a relief. It'll be a horrible time. But verse 6 gets even worse. 9:6, it says, in those days, shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. If you're a football fan, just think about the fastest, most elusive, difficult to catch or tackle fullback. Just think of the fastest football player that you know. Well, the fastest sports player anywhere that you know. Can you think of someone that's super fast out there and that plays sports? Can you think of them? listen, during this time, death will outmaneuver that player with ease. You'll not be able to catch death. Death will be faster than anything to elude a person than you've ever seen. They will seek death, and death will throw a fake on them. There he is, death. Gone. They reach for him. Oh, he's out the way. Muhammad Ali. He swings right out of the way. Whoa. You won't be able to get him. You won't be able to reach him. You won't be able to touch this thing called death. During these 5 months of suffering during the tribulation period, men and women's nervous systems will become infected. They'll have painful swelling in parts of their bodies. Other parts of their systems will cease functioning altogether. They will suffer seizures, convulsions, and many will lose consciousness altogether. Pain medication will fail to provide relief. Men will even fail at attempts at suicide. You do know that there is a level of pain where life becomes inconvenient. You might not have been there before, but after so much suffering, after a while you're going, what's the use? If you're in pain 24/7, 24 hours a day, and every waking day is pain, and you can't get no relief, you can't take anything that will ease this pain off. And I have had 24 hour pain that in order to not get my body used to drugs, I just wouldn't take anything. And I just deal with it. I just try to manage the pain. But every once in a while, I go, you know, I just need a break. And so I take something and it would ease off for 8 hours. And I'd go back, sit back and go, wow, this is really great. You know, whew, wow. So I could find some relief from that. But then when that wore off, the pain started back. I've had shoulder problems where I did something I didn't want to do. I got surgery. I say, do whatever you need to do, do it, because there was no pain medication that would deal with this shoulder. I was up all night. They said, sit in a chair that props you up. That didn't help. I lay down and my shoulder just throbbed. Boom, 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 boom. And finally I said, whatever you need. You got to do something. You got to do something. Well, we got surgery. I said, what? Schedule it. Let's go. Let's go. You know, and there is a point of pain and suffering where life becomes very inconvenient. And you are going to try and find some kind of relief from that suffering. And, after a while, if there's no relief, you're sort of like, this is not living. This is not living, you know. And you know, I'll never kill myself. I'll never kill myself. Well, I hope not. But you just ain't hurt bad enough and long enough to consider the alternative. And I'm not suggesting that. And I'm hoping that it never happens. I'm just saying, if you know anything about chronic pain, you know you got to go find some relief. There's got to be some relief. Something's got to be done. This is no way to live. And these men will be suffering and in pain, and they will want relief, but they can't find relief. It would be so bad that they would try and commit suicide, and their suicide attempts would fail. They will not die of drug overdoses. They will not die of hangings. They will not die of drownings, of slashing of the wrist. Even self-inflicted gunshot wounds will not work. They will have to live. They will be required to endure this suffering for the duration of 5 full months. You could say that death had been suspended for 5 whole months. There would be no way out. I give an example of a man taking a 357 Magnum and sticking it in his mouth and pulling the trigger. Blam! And down he goes. And there he lay, head all messed up, mouth all messed up, laying there, bleeding, but still alive.
Yeah.
And the locusts are still hitting.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Now you can't run.
Now you can't run.
Zoom. Get all messed up. You know? You know? And somebody run by going, ah! He go, Goomer, Goomer! Can you grab me in your cage? That's bad.
That's
bad, but I mean, you know, we make light of it, but
that's
they will not be able to die. I have never heard of that kind of suffering where I can't even find my own relief by dying.
Yes.
I can't hang myself. I hang myself and I just hang there. And just be hanging. And won't die. Somebody cut this rope.
You know, get hit by Loki.
Still get hit. It's bad, y'all. Hey, thank God for Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank God for Jesus, y'all. I'm telling you about things to come. And whoever's on the earth at that time, this will be what they will have to endure. And so, like I said earlier, if you like horror movies, then you're going to love the book of Revelation, because it's full of horror. And this is a horrible thing here, too. I mean, we kind of laugh about it. It's really not funny. So my God, we got to have something to get this thing off us, because this is a horrible thing to consider. They're going to have to endure for five full months. It would be a good time to accept Jesus. You know what I mean? Revelation 7, 9 verse 7 through 10. Here comes the description of the locusts. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men for 5 months. Now, if you can imagine, you know, the word like, it appears here about 8 times, I believe, in these particular verses. And so John was writing symbolically. He couldn't, it's not that it was exactly what he said. He's saying it was like horses prepared unto battle, and that they were like, the crown was like gold, and they were like the faces of men. Their bodies were shaped like a horse prepared to battle. It was like a horse prepared to battle. It was something like a golden crown on their heads. The face of a man, as the face of a man. Hair that was long like a woman's hair. Well, I don't know. That's no big deal today, because we got some guys got hair like a woman's hair.
Anyway,
some of the guys' hair prettier than the women's hair nowadays.
Yeah, nah.
The guys growing the hair and the women putting the wigs on.
Yeah.
Where are we? What's going on? You know, that was a day when a woman would have beautiful hair and a guy would have, you know, get his hair cut. And we go, man, you need to cut your hair. And it's like, it's only down to here. You go get your hair cut.
Yeah.
Now these guys got man, they're growing hair, man. It's beautiful, black and wavy and long. And the women is buying all those. You know, this thing has been turned all around. This is our society now. This is the society that we live in. It has been reversed. What an evil world we live in. You know, a woman's hair is her glory. You know, and this is what we live in. So now women are still having long hair. They're just having to, you know, and then of course you've got, you know, all of the things that are done to a woman's hair and things, and it damages the hair sometimes. And, you know, it's all in the name of beauty and you know what I mean, and just trying to fix yourself up, and sometimes you fall victim to some of these chemicals that they use, and it turned out to be more damaging chemicals than you hoped that they would be or thought that they would be. And so then here you are. Well, the guys are sitting down, and the guys are going like, they take care of you. They're brushing it 100 times, whatever they do. You know, guys, this thing is all flipped over. Now, this world now it's been turned, it's upside down. Now, it's not being critical, I'm just trying to be factual.
Yeah.
That this is the world we live in today. Anyway. And there's not some of them are sweet tooth. And you can't tell by looking sometimes. You can't tell by looking, you know. Sometimes you can, but a lot of them you can't tell by looking. You know, just as queer as he could be, you know what I mean? And, you know, he looked like a big muscular football player.
Yeah.
You know? And tell the woman, say, oh, honey, you can't do nothing for me. It's like, what? It's all, you know.
Yeah.
They got teeth like a lion's teeth. Tails like a scorpion, and wings that sounded like army cherries. So imagine finding yourself in this particular world when these creatures are released from prison, from the bottomless pit. All of a sudden, all this smoke fills the air. And the bottomless pit is apparently in one location, but it's going to be such a massive amount of smoke that this thing is going to cover enormous parts of the earth. And it won't just be in that vicinity, it doesn't seem, because it seems like it's going to be enormous. And these evil ones are the worst of Satan's entourage. Where did they come from? Well, they must have been a part of the group that accompanied Lucifer at his fall. These locusts or demons or whatever they are were so bad, so wicked, that God had to imprison them to apparently protect the rest of creation. They were just that bad that God had to lock them up in the bottomless pit. Lock them up. A man by the name of Oliver B. Green stated that in Italy, some other foreign countries, that locusts are called little horses, and some of them resemble a horse. And another man by the name of John F. Woolward, and he's the author of Every Prophecy in the Bible, said demons and angels can take on appearances other than human, and the description of the locust who stung like scorpions does not fit any category of man or beast. They don't look like anything that we've ever seen before. And so they don't look like man, though they have some parts that look like men, or beast, though they have some parts that look like a beast, and another part like an insect or a scorpion. It's the strangest thing. In Revelation 9:11, it says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. These locusts, as evil as they are, still have to answer to the authority of their angelic king. So they still have something or someone over them that they have to answer to. Some think this is Satan, but Satan still roams the earth, as confirmed in the books of Ephesians, in the book of Peter, in the book of Job. The title king indicates a high rank of angels, like an archangel of some type. This must be one of Satan's top henchmen. And so he's a king, he's a high-ranking angel, perhaps in Satan's economy. The Hebrew name Abaddon means destruction. The Greek name Apollyon means destroyer. So this king's name is one of destruction that destroys. Perhaps the fact that the name of this angelic king is given in Hebrew and Greek means he's going to attack both Jews and Gentiles. Not going to be held back. Amen. And Revelation 9:12 says, one war is past. That was just one war. There's three altogether that will come. One war is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. This one woe is bad enough. There's two more coming after this, in this particular set of judgments. We're going to stop here, and then we'll pick up next week if you come back for more of the horror show, you know, the Revelation, the Book of the Revelation horror show. Because I tell you, just thinking about these things, you know, what manner of Christian ought you to be? How ought you carry yourself in the world today? You might not preach. You might not even do a whole lot of witnessing. But your life is a witness, y'all. And you need to let the Lord use you in this world. You say, well, maybe all of this won't happen in my generation. There's a generation coming after you. You've still got relatives and friends. Well, maybe it don't happen in that generation. Well, the ones that you influence then can influence someone in the next generation. In other words, we need to do the best that we can for the Lord in this life. The Bible says that there are many members of the body, and there are also many different gifts. So one of the worst things you can do is to try to be like somebody else. Whatever you do, you do you. You do how God has blessed you, and don't let other people try to tell you how you're supposed to be. You're who you are in Christ. And people that are trying to tell other people how they're supposed to live their lives, listen, I got my hands full with me.
Well,
and that's not to be selfish, but it really do. I got my hands full with me, and I know you got your hands full with you. So listen, you know, I was kind of joking a little bit with my wife last night. I said, you know, this is kind of like me and you sitting in a jail cell together. And I said, you know what? I like you. I'm going to get you out of here. The first thing you're going to want to know is, where is the key?
Yeah.
Do you have a key?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you don't have a key, how you going to get me out?
Right.
In other words, you got enough in your life to deal with in you to tell me I'm not right. You got enough in your life to deal with in you that you can't straighten me out until you get you straight. We had a lifetime of getting straight to do, y'all.
Amen.
If I can bless you, I will. If I can help you, I will. But I am not going to meddle in your life.
Amen.
I'm not going to be bothering you and running you down. Every man and woman is responsible for their own soul salvation. I love you. I care for you. God knows I want to see you excel in this gospel. But you have a responsibility to arm yourself with the knowledge of God's word. Every one of you have a responsibility. And if you don't arm yourself with the knowledge of God's word, you're going to live any kind of way. You won't have anything to give you any direction but your own mind and your own feelings and your own thoughts, which are tricky. And feelings are the worst things in the world to go by because they change too much and they change too often. And your thoughts, you got to watch them too because they are tricky. Sound like I'm fussing, but maybe I am. But listen, y'all. The word of God is our direction. Y'all got to spend time in this word now. You keep listening to what other people think and what other people say. You better let that go and you listen to the word and what God says to you. And pattern your life behind his word. Now, it's not archaic. It's a right now word. For you right now, y'all. Stop letting this happen to you. Stop letting this happen to you. You take control in Christ. Let him lead and guide you.
Amen.
one step at a time. We all grow at different rates. We're all at different places in our growth.
Yeah.
And so you can't look at someone else and say, ah, look at you. You ain't, you know, wait a minute now. Someone could look at you and say the same thing. So let's not compare. Let's not do that. Let's pray for one another. Let's love one another. Let's be there for one another. And let's support one another. You know, everybody don't have it all together. We don't. But we can do a little better in Christ. We can hear what God say do. We can begin to conform ourselves to the word of God. Little, what little bit that you can do.
Yeah.
You begin to walk in that area. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Y'all please do this.
Amen.
I don't want to, you know, anyway, I won't say that, but yeah, let's just do what we can in Christ. As the Bible, as the song says, only what you do for Christ will last.
Amen.
God has told you to do something, do it.
Amen.
And stop holding off on it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Amen.
Just, well, it might be wrong. Do it anyway. Because all things work together for him that loved the Lord and are called according to his purpose. He'll take care of it.
Amen.
But you got to start. You got to do. Y'all got to start. Get off center. Stop living out in the world. Stop living that mess, man. This thing ain't got nothing for you. Ain't got nothing but trouble for you. It's nothing but trouble for you. Okay.
Amen.
Father, thank you for your word today. And we just bless your name. And it's serious. You're holy, Lord. And you want us to be like you. And it's a long journey for us. But we pray that you will help us and help us and forgive us for our shortcomings, for there are many. And we just pray that you help us and continue, Lord, to teach us in your word and strengthen us to open this word up and read a little bit at a time in the New Testament, to read a little bit more in the epistles and to gain an instruction and wisdom so that we'll know how to walk in your word and how, Lord, to walk in the Spirit. Help us, Lord. Please help us, Lord. And may we be encouraged by your word. And we thank you for all you do. And we just praise your holy name today, Lord. And we pray for George Faust, who, by the way, is in the hospital now and facing quadruple heart bypass surgery. He used to come to church here. And we pray for Brother George that you would be with him, Lord, and that you would strengthen his body even now as he prepares for surgery tomorrow morning.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that he will go in and come out whole and that you bring him through this surgery, Lord, and that you would touch those doctors and you give them, Lord, the instruction and direction and remind them of things that they even forgot about this surgery. You give them brilliance, Lord, and steady their hands as they use the scalpel to heal and be with them and the family and help them and all of us. And we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.